Good morning. The book of Revelation this morning, believe it or not. How many have like this nervousness or anxiety when you crack the book of Revelation open when you're doing your one-year Bible? I did for a longest time. Till I did like a three-year study with a group of people all the way through it, and it's like, oh, okay, it's not as crazy as I thought. But you know, some of the most amazing scriptures are in the book of Revelation. This one is from Revelation 22:17, almost the very end of the last chapter. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. And this is the picture in Revelation of the tree of life and the city of God and the water running, you know, through the city. And it you could get the idea that this is something that we have to wait for. But Jesus says that all who believe in me, that the rivers of living water are going to flow out of them. And so if you'd stand with me, we're just going to take a moment. We're just going to just abide and rest in the presence of God because he's here. And let his rivers of living water just flow through us. Lord, we thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus, for this moment, Lord, that we get to spend, Lord. And yes, even though we're not physically thirsty, some of us right now, Lord, help our thirst, Lord, for you increase in this place. Help our hunger for you increase in this place today, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for your presence, Lord. We thank you, Lord, we're gathering in your name, Lord. You're in our midst, God. And we thank you, Lord, that you're working, Lord, in our hearts even now, Lord. Satisfying that thirst. Maybe it's just our spirit that knows we're thirsty, that knows we're hungry, but you're satisfying that right now, Lord. We thank you. Thank you, Lord, as we're drawing near to you, Lord, and taking this time, Lord, to draw near to you, Lord. You're drawing near to us. Thank you, Lord, that we can't outseek you, Lord. If we just start to seek you, Lord, you search, Lord, for us wherever we may be, Lord. You are, Lord, the greater one that seeks us out. You chose us, Lord. We didn't choose you. But Lord, we choose to sit here and rest in your love this morning. The love of God, the love of the Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for being in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for being the reason that we live and move and have our being and existence in you. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus.
Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. When I'm found in the desert place, a walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. Darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name, blessed be the name of the Lord. blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say,
sing every blessing.
Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious
name. Body.
worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the King. Worthy is the One.
Does anybody want to be worthy? For blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know it was the blood. Could have only been the blood. Whole. Lord, we just bask right now in the revelation of what your blood truly did for us. The restoration that took place on the cross. In your broken body, God, we were made whole. God, I just ask right now, Lord, that anybody in this room that may just need a touch from you, the revelation, God, of who you are. Lord, the revelation of who you have created us to be through your blood, through your death, through your resurrection. Reveal that to your sons and daughters right now, God. You. Situation in your life, we sing great are you, Lord, over our families, over our marriages. We sing this, we sing great are you, Lord, over our jobs, over our nation. We sing great. Church, over our city, we sing this, God. We sing great are you, Lord. Oh, it's true, it's true. We sing great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. You only, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath.
Praise God. Sometimes we need to speak to our circumstances by saying, great are you, Lord. Because sometimes the mountains that are in front of us, the valleys that we're in, the situations that seem to be overwhelming us are just an illusion. Because great is the Lord. Great are you, Lord. I can think of many times in my life that darkness seemed to be just all around me. And by the grace of God, he reminded me to rejoice in the Lord, O my soul, and declare that great are you, Lord. And something happens to maybe not our circumstances, something happens not necessarily to the problems. Sometimes it doesn't even change, you know, even our own thinking process, but somewhere deep inside of us, something comes into our heart, and a peace that passes all understanding starts to surround us. And it starts to guard our heart and our mind. So, Lord, I don't know what anyone is going through today. All of us have issues of life, things that we're dealing with, Lord. But we choose to, with the breath in our lungs, Say, great are you, Lord. Great is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every other name. Great is the Father who gave us the Son, freely gave him, didn't hold him back. And great is the Son who laid down his life freely. No one took it from him. And great is the Spirit of the living God who lives in us now. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. We declare that with all our hearts. Let's sing that a few more times, Eric. Circumstances, Lord, working in our problems, in our relationships, Lord, in our jobs. Thank you, Lord, that you're working. You never stop working, even when we don't see it, Lord, you're working. Even when we don't hear you, Lord, you're working, God. Thank you, Jesus, for being in our lives. Thank you for being the one, Lord, that holds all things together, including us. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Greet someone. Praise God. Morning again.
All right, good morning. Why don't you guys stand with me? We're going to do our declarations over the house of God. And we're just going to believe amazing things for what God is doing in our house. Amen? All right, let's say this on three together. One, two, three. We declare that God is building our church, that God is calling us to the basic gospel, and that he is awakening our church, that we will live a vulnerable life for the Lord. We declare that God is working in our waiting, that our hearts are prepared to move where his heart moves, that we will cultivate a right heart and right mind. And we declare that we are becoming a house of prayer for all nations. Yes, God, we thank you so much for this house. We thank you, God, for what you're doing in One Life Family Worship. God, I just pray, Lord, that your presence would continue to dwell in this place, God. Lord, as we continue to pursue you, God, as we continue to seek and find you, Lord, that you would be faithful, Lord, to meet us, Lord, in this space, God. God, I pray, Lord, for every family represented here. I thank you, Lord, for those, Lord, who call this place home, that you would just bless the homes represented in this place, God. And pray, Lord, that all that we do, God, not just on Sunday, but throughout the week as well, Lord, we would glorify you and represent you in all these things. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. You guys can be seated. So we only have Just a few announcements. So the first one, house prayer. So there was one last night, and I think we're going to do another sign up. Is that correct, Pastor? So we'll do another sign up here soon. But house prayer. So continue to just sow into what God's doing in house prayer. Be praying for the house of God, as well as if you have the opportunity to make it every other Saturday at this point. Pastor Mike will send out a text message if you guys want to join, if you're able to. It's just an amazing time to come together as the house of God and pray outside of church. It's not illegal to pray outside of church. And then thank you for giving. Thank you for giving to our house. You can give here in the chest as well in the back and online. And then before we dismiss the children, I want to pray for Gaylene. For those of you who don't know, Gaylene is at home recovering. She had surgery 11 days ago and is still in recovery and is feeling a lot of pain. So we're going to pray for Gaylene. And I just felt as well that if anybody else needs prayer or has a prayer request, let's just do this family style. Does anybody have a prayer request? We'll take it right now. Yes. Miss Linda. Oh, Joanne. Yes. Joanne. Okay. We can pray for Joanne. Anyone else?
And then your family last night lost someone, right?
Well, right. I don't mean to miss. Rick's, our Uncle Rick's brothers.
Wow.
Yeah, Melanie Nunez.
Rick's niece.
Wow. The Nunez family.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, okay. All right. So God, we thank you so much. We thank you that you are a healer, you are a provider. God, we thank you that you're on the throne. God, we lift up all these things to you. God, we lift up Gaylene right now. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would just touch her body, God. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you, Lord, regardless of what the doctors say and the timeline they have, God, that you, Lord, could have your hand on her body, and you do have your hand on her body, and you are healing her, God. We thank you, Jesus, for just the miraculous work that you're doing, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the fact that this surgery is even able to take place, God, and that she is going to be walking literally, God, in fullness. And so we just pray, Lord, healing over her, Lord. Right now, God, we pray, Lord, that you would just bring comfort to her body, that all pain, God, would cease, Jesus.
Yes.
And we just thank you, God, that you are touching her right now, God. We pray, we lift up Joanne, Lord, Grandma Lindell. We pray, Lord, that you would bless her body as well. We thank you, Jesus, that you are with her, God. We thank you, Lord, that it doesn't matter, Lord, of age or any of those things, God, that you, Lord, can heal bodies. And so we just pray, Lord, for her head to her toes, Lord, that she would feel your healing touch, God. And we just pray, God, all those things, God. And we lift up the Nunez family right now, God. We pray, Lord, that you would bring comfort to this family, God. God, we thank you, Lord, that in death, Lord, it's not the end, God. So we just pray that you would bring comfort, Lord, to everyone involved, everyone directly impacted. And we just pray, God, that you would bless, Lord, this family. God, I pray, Lord, that in this, Lord, those who are seeking answers, they would seek them in you. God, they would find them in you. They would draw closer to you. And we just pray, Lord, for comfort over these hearts, God, as they mourn this loss, as they feel this pain, God, that you would just comfort them. And I just pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, children, we could release the children. So, Leanna Teagan. All right. Extend your hands to these little leaders, children. God, we thank you for our children. We pray, Lord, blessings, Lord, over our children's ministry, our children's workers, and ask, God, that you'd be with them, Lord, as they spend the next 20 minutes or so, Lord, just learning about you. God, we thank you. There is no junior Holy Spirit, and we just pray, God, that as they go downstairs, Lord, they would be led by you, Lord, and that they would draw closer to you. And I thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, can I have all the fathers stand up? Happy Father's Day. The women get like flowers and all kinds of fancy stuff. You guys get candy. Yeah. The dentist is paying me extra for this. So. But I just want to, even though I am a father, Gay usually honors the father. I just want to honor you for your service, your dedication to your family, you being the priests of your home, you being the examples of Christ in your children's lives. So I just speak a blessing over these fathers right now that are standing. Lord, I pray, God, that you would continue to encourage their hearts, encourage them, Lord, to continue to lead their families well, Lord. Lord, I pray right now that there would just be a rich blessing of knowing you greater coming into their lives, Lord, in the coming days. Lord, that the depths of God that are crying out in their hearts would cry back the depths back to you, Lord, that the deep would cry to the deep, Lord, and that they would experience, Lord, a greater level of intimacy like they've never experienced before. And out of that, Lord, they will live lives of love, Lord, to their family, to their workplaces, Lord, to all areas of their life, Lord. They will be a blessing. And we thank you for them. Thank you, Lord, for just the office of fatherhood that you have in this life that you've given us, Lord. And thank you, God, that we can be, Lord, ones that are led by you and help lead others. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I'm just going to put them across the front here. So after service, you can come grab them. I didn't want to put them out in the lobby. They would be gone by the time you got to them. Right? Right, kids? Right. Oh, look at someone's got candy. It's like, praise the Lord. Yeah, you know, you gotta gotta be good. Praise God. All right. What? Oh, okay. Oh, yes. Amen. All right. Well, praise the Lord. I don't know what is going on with this. Hang on just a second. Easy worship alternate output. There it is. I got it. Okay. So we've been, I've been communicating, the Holy Spirit and me have been communicating to you over the past couple of weeks. Eric shared last week, but on the idea of two fruit and two laws. And the idea of two fruit is that there's in the garden, there was the tree of life and there was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And for whatever reason, when we were born into this life, because of the fall, we took on the nature of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But as I said in that message, we also have the Holy Spirit in us, living in us, which I believe is the fruit of the Spirit. So I was trying to encourage all of us that the fruit of the Spirit isn't something outside that we have to try to grab and appropriate, but we have to let it become manifested in our life by faith. Amen? Then the following message was on two laws, and we have the law of sin and death, and we have the law of the Spirit of life, and how, again, it's up to us, as Paul dealt with in chapter 7 of Romans, the distinction between, you know, the things that he wanted to do, he didn't do, and the things that he didn't want to do, he did. And what we came to the conclusion was that it was the Spirit of God in us that helps us, Jesus Christ, him sending his Holy Spirit, living in us, that gives us the power to live in the law of the Spirit of life. So today, following that mindset, speaking of minds, I want to talk about two minds. Because this idea of not having to follow the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or function and dysfunction, and not having to follow the law of sin and death, how does that happen? And it's really about how we allow our hearts and our minds to be renewed in truth. When we receive truth, truth seems to do something from the inside out in us and change us. It makes us more like Jesus. So let's go ahead and take a look here. We won't be dwelling that much on the mind of the flesh. Most of us know the mind of the flesh really well. But Ephesians 2, 1 through 3 says this, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked." Notice this is once walked. You don't have to continue to walk that way. "According to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves." Notice again, once. We're not doing that anymore. "In the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." So before we were introduced to Jesus and his saving grace, we lived however we pleased, with the guidance of the mind of the flesh, the natural desires of our sinful nature. So basically, before we came to Christ, we lived however we wanted to live. We did whatever we wanted to do. We followed the path of the natural life, which usually was sin and death. But now, on the contrary, we have the opportunity to have the mind of Christ. And that's what I really want to focus on right now. So let's turn to Matthew, or look at the screen, Matthew 6:22-23. It says, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Now this is somewhat being pulled out of context, but the truth that's in here is the truth. And so what is happening here is you can't serve God and mammon. You talked about, you know, you have to store up your treasures in heaven where moth and rust can't destroy, instead of the earth where moth and rust do destroy. But the idea here is that the eye, which is the lamp of the body, in other words, it's where we receive things into our being, is where we get our whole, I guess you could say, perspective and mind and thoughts shaped. I don't know if you guys have ever watched a movie, especially late at night, and let's say it's a scary movie or something that's suspenseful, and your eye gate's been taking it all in. How many of you can just fall right to sleep? It's hard. Sometimes it's not even a bad movie. Sometimes it's just a drama or something like that. And I'm starting to go to sleep and my mind's trying to figure out how I could have helped the person, you know, get out of the problem they were in. But it's just the way that we work. What we're receiving starts to shape our thinking. So I want to, this is not my, I did not coin this phrase. This was Baxter Kruger, as far as I know. But ideas become our eyes. So in other words, what we start to think on and dwell on becomes what we really start to see. Again, you know, this is a great illustration. How many of you ever bought a new car? Or you bought a car. That'd be new, because it's hard to pay for new cars nowadays, $60,000 to $100,000. No, thank you. But you get a vehicle, and then all of a sudden, that idea of the vehicle, you have it, you've seen it, it's yours, and you know what it looks like. All of a sudden, you see them all over. Why did I get this color? This is all over the place, this same color. It's because now you have now let your eyes be focused on this, the idea of your car. Now you're seeing it everywhere. It hasn't changed. It was out there before. You just didn't have the perception to see it. You didn't have the idea to see it. So I want to talk about how we work with these eyes. So let's look at the word repentance. Some people hate the word repentance because it's like an old-fashioned word, and it kind of doesn't have the full meaning today that it used to have. It used to just mean that, you know, you're just sorry you did something, or, you know, that you wish you wouldn't have done it, and you're, God, I don't want to do this. And people would come up to the altar and they repent, and they, you know, and they go out and do the same thing. But that's not true repentance. Repentance is the literally changing of your mind or ideas. It's changing the way you see things. That's true repentance. It's not that you're just sorry you did something, but you're allowing your heart to be transformed, your mind to be transformed in such a way that you see the world differently. Before I knew Jesus, I saw the world as a thing that always just took stuff. That because of my upbringing, my childhood, kind of, you know, in the poorer sense, that there were, you know, just rich people out there and there were poor people. I just had this view of like this, it wasn't quite like where I just wanted, you know, just to receive just money from the government all the time. But I'm sure that my mindset was being formed a certain type of way because of my experiences of life that weren't truth. It was not truth. But I got saved at 19, and all of a sudden, I became more responsible. I realized that, you know, that it was the first election, and I think I was 20. I was able to vote in the first presidential election. I got to vote for a president, and I voted, I think, different than I would have before I was saved. And the reason being is because my eyesight, my views started changing. So let's look at the scripture that really talks about this process of transformation. This is one of my favorite verses. If I ever sit down and am counseling individuals and they're going through struggles, I usually have them memorize this verse. And why do I do that? Because it's not a formula, but it's close to a formula. It's kind of like one of those things that if you apply yourself to this, I believe it can bring the transformation that maybe you need to get out of the patterns and habits that you've been following. So it says, and do not be conformed to this world. What is this world? This world is its system, the whole world system, the whole way that it functions. Dog eat dog, you know, step on somebody else to get to the top. The idea that, you know, that just what you do for you and your family is really what matters, not anybody else. That's the world system. So it tells us not to be conformed to that, but be transformed. And I love this word transformed. I don't have time to get into it right now, but it literally is the word metamorphosis or metamorphi, but it's where we get our word metamorphosis. It's the same word you use for what? A butterfly when it goes into its cocoon. When that caterpillar goes into its cocoon, what comes out? A butterfly. It's been totally metamorphosized. And that's what this word is, that we are to be transformed or metamorphosized by the renewing of our mind. In other words, we're changing what our eyes see. We're changing what we focus on. We're changing what captivates us, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So let me remind you the whole reason that we're doing this. We had two fruit, you know, and we had that fruit of the Spirit that we can live in. Well, if we're focusing on that the fruit of the Spirit lives in us, guess what's going to start appearing in our lives? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. The fruit of the Spirit will start to become evident because you're focusing on it lives in you instead of like whatever problems you're facing or whatever that person did to you. Or if you focus on the low things of this life, guess what? You're going to exhibit low behavior. If you focus on the things that are above, the things that are above are what? That's God's kingdom. You know, or God's kingdom, the kingdom that's inside of you. Jesus says, you know, the kingdom of God isn't, you know, over here or over there. If someone's telling you it's coming, you know, just in a few weeks. No, the kingdom of God lives in us. So if you focus on that, the Spirit of God living in us, you're going to fulfill that in your life, the higher things. So we're not to be molded or shaped into the patterns or image of this world, but be transformed into Christ's image by the renovation of our minds. I love that word, renovation. In other words, our minds, you know, and their minds, just not our brain. I don't know if you know that, but the mind's like the very center of our being. Sometimes our mind is our subconscious. It's even like what we're acting and responding to people because of things that have happened to us in the past or things that we put in our hearts that are there. Not necessarily thinking about them at the time, but it's the way we're responding out of that subconscious. So the renovation of our minds allows us to be in the image of Christ, following the pattern of Christ. So I would say this, to be truly transformed through a renewing of our minds, we have to have faith that we can truly change. So I think this is where a lot of people run into their stumbling block, is that they see where they're at right now, they see how much they've accomplished in God up to this point or not, and they tend to think that this is the way it's going to be. But that's a lie. It does not have to remain that way. Remember, I prayed during, I don't know, it was the first of the service or the mid of the service, but that God's at work in you. It says that God is at work, and that's the Father, that's the Holy Spirit, that's the Son. He's at work in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. It says that he started a good work in you, and that he's going to be the one faithful to complete it. But you know what? You have to believe that. If you're just going to say, oh yeah, God's working in me, and then just not ever do anything about reminding yourself, because that's what, you know, bringing your thoughts captive is reminding yourself of what truth is. Because when the enemy brings things into your life that's contrary to what the truth is, it's easy to let those things captivate you. That's why it says to bring those thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. And what is the obedience of Christ? That's his truth. And he is the word, so he is the truth. So again, we have to have faith that we can truly change. So I would like to use this verse. Hebrews 11, 5-6 says, by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. It was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Well, how did Enoch please God? He pleased God by faith, because it says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. In other words, getting back to my statement, you have to have the faith that you can change. You know, it gets harder as you get older. Know what they say about old dog, new tricks? You know, I like to say maybe older dogs. I don't want to just put myself in the old category yet. Older dogs, new tricks. It is harder to establish new patterns as you get older. But it's also hard to establish new patterns if you don't believe that you can change at all. It's even harder. And I'm here to tell you that God is in the life-changing business. Did you guys know that? He is totally in the life-changing business. And we'll see it at the very end. That is his true goal for you. Some people say, no, his goal is that I get to be with him in heaven. Yes, that is the ultimate. But right now, he's in the business of changing your life. That's what he wants. He wants people who look like Jesus here on the earth. He wants sons and daughters who look like Jesus here on the earth. So get this. If we can leave behind our false preconceived ideas are what? Our eyes, thank you, and anchor our heart. So you got to anchor your heart. You got to plant yourself in truth. You can't let truth just be something, oh yeah, that's nice, I've heard that before. No, you have to anchor yourself in it. And what does it mean to be anchored? It means you can't be dragged one way or the other. An anchored ship is immovable. We have to anchor our hearts on the truth so that we have the mind of Christ. But the truth is, we have the mind of Christ. Just like we have the Holy Spirit, just like we have the fruit of the Spirit, just like we lack no good thing. Remember, that was part of the teaching. We have the mind of Christ. In the past tense, we possess the mind of Christ. It just doesn't always show up. But if we leave behind our false preconceived ideas, and what is that? I can't change. God's only been able to do so much with me up to this point. That's probably all he's going to get. Whatever your false preconceived ideas about your life is, and if you can anchor your heart on the truth that we have the mind of Christ, transformation in our lives will take place. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 2:16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? So this is a big dissertation that Paul is giving in 1 Corinthians, and he's talking about, you know, the good things that God has in store for us who love him. But he's also talking about this idea of the mind of Christ. And he says, but we have the mind of Christ. I think it says that the mind of man can't conceive or think or comprehend the good things that God has in store for him. But it says that, but we know those things because of the Spirit of God. And then it tells us we have the mind of Christ. What does have mean? We possess it. It's ours. So what is keeping us from operating in the mind of Christ? Our ideas. Our thoughts about having the mind of Christ. I think if we could remember more often than not that we have the mind of Christ instead of we have the mind of the flesh, we would be exhibiting the character and nature of Christ. It's just the way that things work. What you focus on, you become. What you see with your eyes starts to take place in your life and pattern in your life. 2 Corinthians 3:16 through 17 through 18. Oh, no, it's through 17. No, 18. I took a verse out, but it's not this one. 2 Corinthians 3:16 through 18. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. So this veil is like a way that we don't get to truly see God for who he truly is. It's kind of like the Pharisees and Sadducees. Even though God himself was in their midst and performing miracles and showing the character, Jesus says, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Father was in their midst. He was displaying the character and love of God. They had veils over their eyes and they couldn't see who he truly was, to the place where they eventually crucified him. Says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I love that. Anytime anybody tries to challenge you on your own walk with the Lord, just remind them, you know, the Spirit of the Lord's living in me, and there's a liberty for me to live, you know? But we all, with unveiled face, so all of us can have an unveiled face. What does that mean? It means we can see things as they are. I know we see through a glass dimly, but with unveiled face, it says, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed, there's that word, metamorphosized, into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So what it's really saying, as if looking in a mirror, when we see him in his word or through our personal devotion times, we see who we truly are. As we behold him, we are being transformed into his image from glory to glory. So I don't have a Bible here. Eric is starting to carry. Oh, you're carrying a Bible too, Nancy. Congratulations. It's like, that's right. You're not this techno person anyway, are you? Anyway, but when we're looking into the word, what's happening is it has a mirror. And someone say, well, if it's a mirror, man, that means I'm just seeing a bunch of junk in myself. Sometimes you do, but other times you see the true you. Sometimes you, if by faith you're looking at this word, it has to be by faith. You can't just read it. Oh yeah, it's my daily reading. I have to read it. You have to read this by faith and realizing that this is alive. That this is a supernatural event that you're participating with right now. You're engaging with heaven when you're reading this word. And as you read this word, you see Jesus in this word. And as you see Jesus, guess who you truly see? You. Because he lives in you. And so the Jesus in you starts to be reflected into your heart. And then as that happens, we see who we truly are. We behold him and we're being transformed into his image from glory to glory. So do you see how these messages go together? Yeah, we could live in the tree of the knowledge, good and evil, Lord, the fruit of the Spirit. We can live in either the law of sin and death or the law of the Spirit of life. Now, this is how we get to the place where we're living in the tree of the knowledge, not the tree of knowledge, the tree from the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the tree of life, the fruit of the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit and the Spirit of life. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, we're getting to the place where we see how the transformation takes place to live those out, to not just be mere words that we talk about, but literally transforming power that happens in us so that we can say, yes, I'm not living by the law of sin and death. I'm living by the Spirit of life, the law of the Spirit of life. I'm not eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I'm eating of the tree of the Holy Spirit, which is the fruit of the Spirit. John 8:31-32 says this, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, that's the word, you abide in it, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, what does make mean when something's made? Again, it's a done, right? We possess this freedom. So when we come to know the truth through experiential knowledge, so the truth isn't just me talking to you on a Sunday. I mean, I wish after you heard the words that I speak on a Sunday, you were transformed. But it doesn't work that way. I'm sorry, it doesn't. All we can do is maybe whet your appetite to go deeper. Maybe what we can do is maybe point you in a direction that you didn't know you could go before. Or maybe we model something that you can say, well, maybe that's possible for me too. And then you've got to now, through experiential knowledge, you've got to start eating of this word yourself. You've got to start living out these truths yourself. And as you do, well, let me finish the full statement, which when you come to know the truth through experiential knowledge, which can only come through rhema, the living word being lived out in our lives, can we truly be made free so that we can live our lives in the mind of Christ, not the mind of the flesh. When you come to the place where you are now taking what we've communicated on a study where Pastor Eric or Gay or anybody that stands up maybe gives a word of the Lord of a direction that we could go as a body of believers, however it may happen, when you take that by faith and you start to establish that truth in your own life, you're starting to live out the mind of Christ instead of the mind of the flesh. You know, the world needs the love of God, but it also needs the believers of God living in the mind of Christ, to where we're not just, as it says Isaiah 11, that Jesus didn't judge by what he saw with his eyes or what he heard with his ears. How did he judge? He judged with the wisdom and understanding that came from the Holy Spirit. He judged with the counsel and might that came from the Holy Spirit. He judged with the knowledge that came from the Holy Spirit. And he judged with the fear of the Lord that he delighted in from the Holy Spirit. And guess what? He was able to make righteous judgments. There's a lot of junk out there on the internet, and a lot of it is lies. And if we listen to those lies, we're going to be responding how? In a lie and with a lie. But if we remind ourselves that we have the mind of Christ and the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit and all of the attributes of the Holy Spirit, we will respond in a way that declares God and exhibits the character and nature of God. Praise the Lord. And finally, when we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Is it interesting that in this particular verse, it doesn't say that we were predestined to go to heaven with him, or we were predestined to get salvation? That's true, but it's not the only thing. We were predestined. In other words, God beforehand ordained it that we would be conformed or molded to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So it's Father's Day. So the Father's greatest desire is that we, his beloved children, would be conformed or transformed into the image of his Son, who is the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. I'm going to read that again. It's the Father's greatest desire that we, his beloved children, would be conformed or transformed into the image of his Son, who is the firstborn among many brethren. What does this mean? This means that his love that he has for us, he exhibits the greatest desire for us that we would be like him and like his Son. Because he knows that when we're acting the fool in this world, that most of the time bad things happen to us. Anybody attest to that? When we're acting the fool, most of the time bad things happen to us, or our hearts hurt us, or whatever. But when we're in Christ, in the mind of Christ, in the ideas of Christ, in the ideas of the Word of God, guess what? It's a lot easier to live in this life. So he knows that we're blessed if we become conformed to the image of his Son. And he knows that we're fulfilling who we're called to be, sons and daughters. You ever thought of yourself as a brother or a sister of Jesus? You are. I know it's hard to get all of these attributes that are spoken about, because we're supposed to also be the bride of Christ. We're bride of Christ. How many brother and sister? But the idea is we're to be close in this unity of the family of God. And so, as before, you have a choice. You have a choice for two minds. You have a choice of the mind of the flesh and the choice for the mind of Christ. And I'm here to tell you, and I believe that in the coming days, you're going to live more in the mind of Christ. Why? Because you're going to go and apply these truths that are so evident in his word. Amen? So, Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for sending your Son that gives us access, Lord, to this word, gives us access to your truths in our lives, that gives us the ability to have the mind of Christ. And thank you, Jesus, for coming and laying down your life freely for us. Thank you, Jesus, for coming and being, Lord, our example, Lord, of who we can be as sons and daughters. Thank you, Lord, for sending the Holy Spirit to us to be living inside of each and every one of us, guiding each and every one of us, inspiring each and every one of us to have your mind. Lord, we thank you that you have not left us orphans. You have not left us here with just a life where we have to just grope our way to find our way to you, Lord, but you've made a way where there seemed to be no way. What was impossible with man was totally possible with you. And Lord, so we thank you, Lord. And as we said earlier, Lord, we declare that you're great. You're great in our lives. You're great in our family's life. You're great in our workplace. You're great in every aspect of our life, Lord. So help us, Lord, to live up to that greatness that you are by allowing your Holy Spirit to draw us into the deeper things of God and especially renewing our minds in your truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Faithful every day of my life, and I could search the world and never find another like you, another like you. Sing, there's no one, and there is no one like the Lord. Faithful every day of my life, I could search the world and never find another like you, another like you. Sing, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the King, worthy is the One. Thank you. search the world and never find another like you. No other like you.
Praise the Lord. That's kind of what it all boils down to, is that there's no one like him. And because he loves us so much, we can love him back by becoming more like him. Amen. Love you. Happy Father's Day again to all you fathers. Have a great day with your family. Blessings.
Don't forget your candy.